The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
God has called us, His people, to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a possession, so that you might speak the praises of Him who was called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And this can be found in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Are we, as God's people, resisting Him in His calling? I'd like to remind you about some scriptures that God uses to describe some of His people. Turn to Revelation 3. The question is He describing us? Revelation 3, verses 1 and 2. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, and you live and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Again, a description of God's people. A little later on in Revelation, verse 15, Revelation 3:15. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold, and I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore repent. Are we becoming more like God's people, or are we becoming more like the world? How are you thinking? I've got a dilemma to present before you today. And I believe this is a dilemma that is something that God's people does not fully understand nor grasp. And you may be surprised. Would we speak evil of God? So now, turn to Acts 23. Acts 23, starting in verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then Paul said unto him, God shall smite you, you whited wall. For sittest you to judge me after the law, and commanded you to be smitten contrary to the law? And then they that stood by said, Do you revile God's high priest? Then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that this was the high priest, for it is written, You shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. See, when Paul quoted that, he quoted Exodus 22:28, which says, You shall not revile God or judges, nor curse the ruler of your people. Now, what does God mean by not speaking evil or not cursing the ruler of your people? We're going to take a look at that and see how we need to change. Especially since many of us listening to this are Americans. Because after all, doesn't the First Amendment give us the right for freedom of speech? You know, and of course, as an American, we do have freedom of speech. But does this phrase override what God commands? Does this give us the right to do what we want? Of course not. God gives us instructions in His Bible. And we need to remember this as God's people. As Christians, we need to be thinking like God and not like just Americans, because we're more than just Americans. In the U.S. Constitution, many say how wonderful a document it is. And I, overall, for what is written, it is a good document. But it is not wholly biblical. And we as Christians need to understand this, because God didn't call us to be Americans. God called us to be Christians. He called us to be His people, a holy people. So how does God want us to apply this command? You know, what if our leaders exasperate us, or we understand that their philosophies could enslave us? What does God want us to do? So let's start looking at this verse that Paul quoted, and then review not only this verse, but Paul's comment and why he backed off. Acts 23, verse 5. Then Paul said, I knew not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. So what does it mean, what does Paul mean, that you shall not speak evil? Well, that's a Greek word. It's 2560. I wanted to make sure that the translators had this right. And it says, you shall not speak badly, physically or morally, amiss, diseased, evil, grievously, miserably, sick, or in other words, speak evil, say something evil against. In Exodus 22:28, where Paul quotes that you shall not speak evil, that's where the quote came from. What does the Hebrew say? In the Hebrew, the word for revile is Hebrew 70:43, and it means to be slight, to be swift, to be trifling, to be of little account, to be light. In other words, if God says something or a judge says something, you don't take it seriously. You take it lightly. In fact, God gives us another instruction in Deuteronomy 17:2, where you go before God in judgment. It says, the man who acts presumptuously, which is pridefully or arrogant, by not obeying the priest who stands to minister there, or the judge, before the Lord your God, or judge, that man shall die. So you shall purge evil from Israel. So God gives us quite a harsh instruction for not obeying proper judgment. And again, the judgment that are supposed to be given is godly judgment, judgment in the Bible. Also in Exodus 22:28, the second word is curse. And for that word, it's from the Hebrew word 7-7-9, and it means to bitterly curse or to excrete. In other words, to say improper things. In other words, the Hebrew 7-7-9, the second word in Exodus 22:28, nor curse. Also, later on in Acts, where Paul is questioned, or the people asked that stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? And the word there is the Greek 30:58, and it means to revile, reproach, rail at, heap abuse upon. Now let's go over Acts 23 and see again why Paul got himself in this situation. In verse 1, Paul said, and earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And then the priest, Ananias, commanded them that they that stood by him should smite him. And then Paul said, now notice what Paul says, God shall smite you, you whited wall, for you sit to judge me after the law and command me to be smitten contrary to the law. Now what Paul spoke may have been truth, but what he didn't know at that point in time, that it was the high priest that asked him. And Paul knew that God had the command that you should not say anything against the high priest. If Paul would have just said, for sittest you to judge me after the law, commands you to be smitten contrary to the law, then he would have just been talking about the high priest's actions. And that's something that is very important for us to understand. Just because a leader does something doesn't mean what they are doing is proper, nor does it mean that we should blindly follow and just accept what they say or do. And we see this by Paul's example. In fact, there's many examples in the Bible where God's people uphold God and not what is blindly done by leaders, and at the same time respect that office. You see, if Paul would blindly follow the leader, he wouldn't have been a Christian. He would have turned in his badge, so to speak, because this gentleman was the leader of the people. But Paul believed God, and Paul went after God and followed him. Let's see another example. Turn to John 18. This is an example from Christ our Savior. John 18, starting in verse 19. Here Christ was before the council and the high priest in this case. And the high priest asked Jesus of his disciples, of his teaching. And Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always resort. And I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those that heard me what I have said to them. Behold, they know what I said." And when he had spoken this way, one of the officers stood by, struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest so?" And Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" You see, Jesus gave a reasonable answer to the high priest. It was a respectable answer. It wasn't condescending, but at the same time, Jesus knew what God wanted him to do and how he had to answer. The high priest didn't protect Jesus when the officer struck Jesus, because in a sense, the high priest condoned what the officer did. So Jesus not only corrected the officer, he also corrected the high priest for having himself being treated like that. Another example I would like to show you. Turn to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. Elijah, a mighty prophet before God, a wonderful example for us and how God used him to be a prophet before Israel. 1 Kings 18, verse 17. "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, 'Are you he that troubles Israel?' And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and has followed after Balaam.'" Elijah was direct, Elijah was proper, and he gave the king an answer. Would we be able to give the king an answer? Can we use God's word to protect ourselves and God's people? Elijah was very respectful to Ahab's position. And many a prophet died either by the people of God or by the kings. But Elijah was not going to have a respect of persons and wanted to make sure that the king knew that he was doing wrong. And by doing wrong, was also affecting God's people and turning them away from God himself. Are we willing to stand up to leaders that aren't doing the proper things? Are we going to turn to be more like the world or become more like God? What else does God have to say about the king respecting authority? Turn to Proverbs 24:21. Proverbs 24:21. "My son, fear you the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." God knew and God knows how kings operate. And they are very powerful and they wield authority, not only kings, but governors and senators, etc., that are in this country, or prime ministers, or officers in other nations. Ecclesiastes 10:20. "Curse not the king, no, not in your thought, and curse not the rich in your bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice which has wings and tell the matter." Many of these people are influential and can change how your life progresses by what you do. But God doesn't want anything to come out of our mouths that is disrespectful for authority. Matthew 4:10. Notice the words of Jesus. Here he is with Satan. Matthew 4:10. Then Jesus said unto him, Get you hence, Satan. For it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And the devil left him, and beheld, the angels came and ministered unto Jesus. This also is a very, very important example for us. The devil in all his authority and power, Christ, our God, spoke to him and didn't speak anything reviling against him. He just told him what he needed to do and that he was going to worship God. And this is what we need to do in our lives. And it's further backed up by many, many scriptures in the Bible. Turn to Jude, verse 8. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, did not bring him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. So are we going to corrupt ourselves as these people are by what we speak? Again, I remind you about Ecclesiastes 10:20. Curse not the king, not in your thought or in curse, not the rich in your bedchamber, for who knows that your thoughts may be carried. That which has wings tell of the matter. Among the rulers of this world, there have been many despicable individuals. But have any of them been as despicable as the devil? And there has been no railing accusation brought against him. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, Be sensible and vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking someone he may devour, whom firmly resist in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions in the world are being completed in your brotherhood. God does not sling mud at his and our enemy. God does not approve of what the devil does. We are fairly familiar with what's in store for him, but it's God that brings us in its proper time. We are to resist. We are to draw close to God. We are to be careful on what we speak. And it's a difficulty for all of us, because sometimes we just let pride and arrogance get in the way. But again, the question comes, are we a holy people, or are we going to go the way of the world? Turn to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in lust, of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas the angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before God, before the Lord. God wants us to be respectful. He does not want us to be accepting or placating inexcusable conduct either. God wants us to be like him. We need to understand. Think about the history the church has come through in the last 20 years. Has the church applied some of these principles? Have we stood up for the truth? Or have we wanted other people to stand up for the truth? Now, something that's very, very important about rulers that we tend to forget at times. Turn to John 19. We have a few scriptures here. How do these rulers come about? John 19, verse 8. When Pilate therefore heard the saying, he was more afraid because his wife gave him word on who he was talking to. And he went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, Who are you? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said unto him, Speak you not unto me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you? And Jesus answered, You could have no power at all against me except it were given you from above. Therefore, he that delivers me unto you has the greater sin. So you see, Pilate had power, but it was given to him from above. In this case, it may have been from Satan, or it could have been from God. But we'll continue on this subject. But it's important to understand that God is in charge in this world. Rulers are set or allowed to be such by God. Psalm 75:7 says, But God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another. Do you think God isn't involved in this world? Look at the book of Revelation. Look at prophecy throughout the Bible. Does God only talk about Judah? Does God only talk about Israel? If I remember, he mentions all nations. In fact, he talks about all nations in the book of Revelation, and he ties it together in a story form. So God doesn't have any input into the world? Jeremiah 27. He says, I have made the earth, man and animals, on the face of the earth, my great power and my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seems right to me. And now I have given all the lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I have also given him the beasts of the field to serve him. Put down in your notes Jeremiah 27:5-8. I won't read that. Again, see how involved God is. So God has a hands-off approach on this world and on leaders, right? Turn to Daniel 2. Daniel 2:37. You, O king, are king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. Daniel is talking to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he's telling him where his power comes from. Daniel 4:17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, so that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will and sets up over it the lowest of men. A few verses down, 25. They shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the animals of the field, and you shall make you eat grass like oxen, and they shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he wills. Daniel 4:34. And at the end of days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who lives forever, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And his rule is from generation to generation. The world that we live in is God's. It may not have his government here. He doesn't have what I would call a hands-off approach. He's involved. He puts leaders in for his purpose. And there are several other verses in Daniel that show the same thing. Again, God is involved in the rulership of this world. He puts the rulers in, and he does it for his purpose. Let's look at one of the purposes of government. Turn to Romans 13. Romans 13, starting in verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God again, God isn't involved in it, right? He's only involved in the church, not involved in the world. I don't see that clause here in Romans 13:1. Romans 13:2. Whoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror of good works, but to the evil. Will you then not be afraid of power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to you for good, but if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him and do evil. Read to verse 7, where it says, finally where it ends with, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So even if we have leaders that exasperate us, we're to remember who put them there. 1 Peter 2:13, starting in verse 13, 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may be put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Also it said in verse 25, that was verse 18 that I just read, in verse 25 it says, for you are as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. God is watching us. God is involved in our lives, and he's involved in this world. But he's building a holy people. He has a royal priesthood. And he's more concerned with us and that we become like him. For the eyes of the Lord, 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be you troubled. Fear not them that can destroy the body, but fear him who can kill the body and soul. The Bible is full of examples for us. The Bible is full of life's questions if we at least search it out. How many times we as God's people do we have to suffer from not understanding God's word, both from not respecting authority and also from not respecting God? You see, God picked Saul as a leader over Israel. And Saul didn't do what he was supposed to. And God replaced Saul with David. Now, David didn't take it into his own hands, which could also be part of this. But he replaced Saul with David. And then Solomon followed David. But because of God's displeasure with how Solomon lived, caused God to give half of Solomon's kingdom to Jeroboam when Solomon died. So the kingdom was split. Half of it went to Rehoboam, Solomon's son, and the other half went to Jeroboam. In fact, Jeroboam was given the same promise that was given to David if he followed God's word. And Jeroboam rejected it. Instead of having trust in God, he had trust in people. Are we a royal priesthood? Where is our trust? The Bible is full There are chapters on prophecy about kings and nations. Again, the whole book of Revelation describes the end times, the political and moral conditions that are coming and that are here on us. Do you think God isn't concerned with this world? Why would he save it if he wasn't concerned? Why would he be building a royal priesthood? God allows cause and effect to occur in history, and he guides it and governs it. That's one reason why there is so much suffering in this world, because of evil men that are in place. But God is here to save humanity. We have rejected him from the beginning, we as humanity, but God has given us his Holy Spirit because he's building a royal people. Are we that royal people and becoming like God? Maybe the rulers we have are just the type of people we need because of how we're living our lives. Look at our nation the way it is. The nation is slowly rejecting God, slowly rejecting Christianity. Not that it ever really was truly biblical. What does God want from us? One thing that it says, Leviticus 19:17. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, and you shall in any wise rebuke your neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. So in other words, when you see things that are incorrect, do we hide our eyes? Do we go the other way? But at the same time, we also have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We can't be involved in everything. We need wisdom in what we decide to do. Because, as God says in Proverbs, a scorner will not hear rebuke. Exodus 22:28 says, you shall not revile God or the judges, nor curse the ruler of your people. God is building a royal priesthood in us. He's building unity. Part of this is understanding where God is and how God has control in what's going on. Let's not forget our part and being his sons and daughters.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.